FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and it is May 30th, 2017. Well, been watching Hollywood. Hollywood is having major, major problems this weekend. Memorial Day, the ticket sales were the lowest, the 19th lowest ever for Memorial Day. Obviously a sign something's wrong with that. We're looking at Dwayne Johnson's latest film, Baywatch. Also a flop. Well, our good friend James Herson is here with us now, the Legal Survival Show and author and so much more. Hey, James, welcome back.
Great to be with you, Kerry. How are you?
All right. So Baywatch, is Baywatch emblematic of everything that's going wrong with Hollywood?
Well, partially it is, but it's also an object lesson for an individual actor. You know, Dwayne The Rock Johnson is the top actor in Hollywood in terms of box office draw,
really?
In terms of salary level, in terms of where they measure something they call a Q quotient, which is sort of like an approval rating, and all of these things. And so then when the studio, as the studio heads are, this is Paramount, where I used to work, years ago. And I'm telling you, the big studios are filled with anxiety, partially because of what you referenced, that the box office is tanking domestically. But in addition, it's a very insecure business where nobody knows anything and they can't figure out. There's no formula works consistently. So they're trying to make safe bets. So they dig up a television show from the 1990s, admittedly, one of the most popular television shows in the world, Baywatch, and they reboot it with Dwayne Johnson and Zac Efron. Now, unlike the original Baywatch, which was a very tame show, by the way, in terms of its plot line, it often featured family themes with David Hasselhoff's character advising his son, sort of like My Three Sons or something, you know. And but the big draw, of course, was young people, young guys, age 18 to 35, being able to tune in and watch Pamela Anderson run on the beach in slow motion. Exactly. And so what they did in the remake is they changed it into a slapstick comedy, and instead of featuring the girls as eye candy, they featured Dwayne Johnson and Zac Efron on the beach, and they thought that Dwayne would draw in the box office. So the industry expectations were over the five-day Memorial Day weekend, that they would bring in around $42 million. And they brought in $26 million, which under any measurement is called a flop in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And the thing is, part of the promo, and I think it was intentional, Johnson started to leak out that he was interested in running for president. And the entertainment media went wild with it. But some of the non-entertainment media started to weigh in on it, particularly after Johnson started indicating that he planned to run against President Donald Trump, that he wasn't really fond of Donald Trump, making sort of snickery remarks about Trump, how we needed new leadership. One of his lines when he appeared on the Tonight Show, he said that he used to think he wasn't qualified to be president, but these days he thinks he's too qualified. That was a real shot at Trump. Okay, so in the beginning, the studio was really elated. The Washington Post picks it up, the Washington Examiner, Fox News, and they're taking him seriously. As a matter of fact, the National Review, where the Never Trumpers live, had a cover story, and it was titled, quote, "The Celebrity We Need." And it was touting Dwayne Johnson, thinking of him as some sort of savior of the GOP to save the never Trumpers from Trump. And so then Johnson goes on and makes a kind of a formal announcement, if you want to call it that. On Saturday Night Live, he announces his running mate is Tom Hanks. And, you know, we know this thing is a big joke and everything.
Oh my God.
He couldn't. He was participating in these skits where he's talking to Alec Baldwin dressed up as Trump, and he slams Trump. And look, here's the lesson. And that is, and the studio guys know this, it's not always a good idea to offend 62 million potential moviegoers, the people that feel a bond, a familial bond with Donald Trump. I guess they can't figure out why Trump's base, and I'm part of that base, why they stick with him despite the barrage of negative media that the public has received. Now it's all the way through the election, greater than a year, and accelerating in recent weeks. And how is it possible that his base sticks with him? They don't understand it, but they also have to realize that, you know, that you, by taking a political position, Dwayne Johnson damaged his image. You know, this is a guy who was so careful. He spoke at the Republican convention. He attended the Democratic convention, and he registered as an independent. And he didn't weigh into politics as he rose in popularity. This is a real tarnish to his otherwise good image. It's the first really bad move Dwayne Johnson has made, and now he has a flop on his record, and it's going to lower his ability to demand the high salaries.
Yeah. You know, it's just him to be a presidential candidate. How do you take that seriously? It just befuddles the mind. I mean, I'm looking through his bio. He actually did graduate from college from Miami, University of Miami, with a Bachelor of General Studies degree in criminology and physiology. So I guess he's qualified, right?
Well, you know, this is a shot. I mean, they all giggle about this around Hollywood. Oh, if you bring that up at a social gathering, what they would say is, well, at least he's got as much qualification as a reality star, you know. But the fact is, there's no comparison between someone who ran a business empire, who built up something worth multi-billions of dollars, and who showed and did it internationally compared to a guy who was a professional wrestler. And yeah, maybe he has his bachelor's degree. And I'm not saying, I think Johnson's actually smarter than the average Hollywood celebrity, but he didn't show his intelligence in this particular run. And I think he realizes it because, you know, the studio spent $68 million on this movie, and they thought, okay, they didn't think that they had, you know, a mega box office hit, but they figured it was a solid investment, and it's a loser. And it's a shocker because, you know, the funny thing is, had they stuck with the original formula and not had this build up and politicized a beach movie, they would have made money. And it's really just bad business, bad thinking, and this problem in Hollywood of people who are out of touch with real Americans.
Well, that's the truth. I mean, they're like, forget it. They don't get it at all. They don't know what the average person goes through in the U.S., what it's been like in the age of Obama, all of these things. And, you know, for now to actually, even though nobody's taking it seriously, you know, they just damaged their brand, totally damaged their brand, James.
Well, you know, Samuel Goldwyn in the golden age of Hollywood had a bunch of filmmakers in his office, and he famously told them, if you're interested in sending a message, don't use your movies, send a telegram, he said. And his idea was that we're in the business of entertainment. If you're going to be in the business of entertainment, then entertain, for goodness sake. And but what it is in Hollywood, people have very quick successes. They go from rags to riches. They feel guilty about it. Mm-hmm. They want significance, which is why they chase Oscars so hard. They seek awards. They seek critical acclaim. And Johnson was immune to that. I mean, he's basically done a lot of Disney films and a lot of very smart kind of pop-oriented films. But, you know, I think the peer pressure got to him. And It's like if you were selling any product, say you were selling peanut butter, and it was Carrie Lutz peanut butter. Well, if people were buying your peanut butter, you wouldn't want to take controversial positions publicly about the peanut butter because it could affect sales of the product. And Dwayne Johnson is a product.
Yes.
So when he started the Trump bashing, he made sure. Now the movie had some other reasons, probably why it flopped. Like I mentioned, they had the wrong approach to it, and the critics hated the movie, by the way. But that doesn't stop box office. I mean, there's a lot of movies the critics pan that do incredibly well. Mm-hmm. I think this was sort of the nail in the coffin for the movie when it was already starting to trend bad. Johnson sunk it with this and hurt himself in his own career.
Absolutely. I could not agree with you more. Yeah, I think it's like the peanut butter companies putting a big warning label on their bottle of peanut butter that, you know, make sure you don't have an allergy before you buy this product. And, you know how much that would impact sales if they had a warning label on it? And I think he's just done the equivalent of, hey, if you disagree politically, you better go find something else, right? I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely. Ridiculous. Yeah, the thing that clouds their business judgment is the fact that they live in the L.A. area, in L.A., New York, San Francisco, these enclaves, Seattle, these liberal cities. They might as well be on another planet because they only talk to each other. They go to social events with each other, and they think their views are normal when their views are ridiculous. You know, Katy Perry coming out after the disaster in Manchester, the evil criminal terrorism that took place against teenage girls. She comes out and says, we shouldn't have borders. We shouldn't build walls. We should just have an open global world. And of course, you know, you look at her home and it has a wall around it, a very secure wall with security guards and all this.
Why.
I mean, so as if hundreds of billions of people from all over the world who would love to come to the United States, according to Katy Perry, they should all just come. Just come over and maybe come to her house if they could tear down her wall and come in and maybe, you know, sleep on her lawn. But the point is, if you actually implement the ideas of Los Angeles, San Francisco, New York, and Seattle, you literally destroy the country. You absolutely destroy it. We're seeing a slow destruction of Europe implementing those exact policies in a slow way. And we saw that trend in the United States under the previous president, President Obama. And thank God that President Trump is attempting to reverse it, although the swamp is doing everything they can to not only stop him, but they, in their hopes, want to take him out.
Yeah, that's in their dreams. So true. So point is, if you have a brand, don't mess with it. Respect it and don't. Also, you know, James, it just amazes me. Half these Hollywood people are dropouts from high school or college. They have no training in anything. And yet they're going to lecture you and me on law, business, economics. I mean, look, if it wasn't for Hollywood, they would be nothing. They would be nowhere. So they don't really have an adequate soapbox from which to declaim all of their insane theories here. They just don't.
Well, it's true. And look, Hollywood is a place of egos. And people who go basically cry on cue in front of cameras and pretend to be other people and read lines that were written by other people, they realize that they're not really using their intellectual prowess that much. And so they feel a certain level of insignificance. Because the reality is, we blow up the acting profession like it's something important and significant, but it really isn't. You know, they're basically playing pretend, and some of them are good looking, and that's it. And so, yeah, they're surrounded by an entourage of people that tell them every day that every idea that comes out of their mouth is genius. Yeah. It's pure genius, Dwayne. You should run for president. And they, you know, if they don't hang out with normal people, they don't hang out with family, they don't have something to distract them, they don't have faith, then it's easy for them to believe, you know, the lies and their inflated ego and their inflated sense of self-importance. And then lo and behold, you know, they start to pontificate. Also, we have a society where celebrity endorsements work. You know, it's a multi-billion dollar industry. Kim Kardashian, who has the IQ of, I'm not, you know, probably a high school kid or something. She endorses a product and it sells.
Influences.
And so when you have that kind of celebrity power, you think, hey, why not use it in the political world? And so many do, and they do so in an embarrassing, mindless way, and sometimes in a very dangerous and damaging way.
Correct. Couldn't be truer. And yeah, when you start getting your advice from Kim Kardashian, then you deserve what you get. I mean, I don't know what the answer is. I'd love to think it was education, but I don't know that these snowflakes want true education. I mean, they want their safe spaces. They want their echo chambers. And then they can't understand when life doesn't work out the way they've been led to believe it should. And this is absurdity. So hopefully we're getting to the end of the rainbow here, and at some point reality will control. It's going to work out that way one way or the other, James.
Well, it always does, because, you know, life is the ultimate teacher. And even the snowflake millennials at some point are going to either have to grow up and show up, or they're not going to have a survival path for themselves. That's just the way it is. And, you know, it's funny, because even in the business world, the millennials, they said, well, these millennials, they don't believe in the American dream. They're not interested in purchasing a home, and they just want to be renters forever. So they'll never be a market for millennials in the entry level of real estate. Now all of a sudden there's a big boom in millennials trying to figure out a way to buy their first home, because it kind of hardwired to want to have their own place, want to have maybe, you know, maybe raise a family, that sort of thing. And they get a little older and then they say, you know, maybe my parents' basement isn't the place for me to spend the rest of my life.
Hey, I know a guy who told his son Cellar Boy. Finally, Cellar Boy had enough and, you know, got an FHA loan and got out of the cellar. So, you know.
Yeah. And of course, to get an FHA loan, this person had to get employment. And that leads us back to what the president's trying to do with his agenda, is to create jobs. And we already have the start of that, but we need for the Republicans in Congress to get off the dime and be able to pass this agenda, because a lot of these cellar boys and girls will find opportunity, and that's going to make America great again. That's the way to do it, and actually achieve a growth rate again, a decent growth rate. I know, I think their goal is to get 3. I'm hoping for higher than that.
Well, it can be done. You have to look at the obstacles to growth. And we're kind of talking about Hollywood, but really Hollywood's an analog for what's really happening here, Jameson. And the fact is that the biggest obstacles to growth are the government, or is the government. Bad policies and bad thinking, just anti-growth, anti-business. Just look how many people lost, how many of you lost your jobs in West Virginia, not just if you were in the coal mine, but if you were in a supportive role, or if you had the luncheonette down the corner from the local coal mine.
Exactly.
You were out of
business.
Sure.
If Hillary had her way, and of course Obama did, when you shut down mines, then there are all kinds of collateral and related businesses that, you know, like you said, the luncheonette, the, you know, the Chinese laundry down the street, local grocer, the local tavern, just a whole host of businesses. And that's what we call an economy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, restoring West Virginia, the deregulation is reducing the power of government, which is why the swamp is panicking in every direction. But, you know, two big ones that we have to get through is, you know, to get Obamacare off the backs of businesses, and to lower the tax rates so that we're a competitive country again, particularly the corporate rates. We call it tax reform. I don't know if they're going to be able to get tax reform, but if they get those two things, I see year and a half to 2 years, an incredible rockin' growth rate that will result in prosperity. And that's what the swamp is the most afraid of, is if Trump's agenda is successful. But the Democratic Party's afraid of it because they'll permanently lose their base or indefinitely lose their base in the Rust Belt. And the swamp is afraid of it because it will lead a segment of the population to wake up to the very idea you suggested, that government is the obstacle to growth and prosperity. And then the public might have a taste for reduction, which means that the swamp will lose its power even more so. But it's filled with gators, and the swamp is going to fight Trump every step of the way. You know, Steve Bannon made a statement. He said, quote, "If you think they're going to give back your country without a fight, you're sorely mistaken." And I think of that quote often when I read what the Washington Post and New York Times are dredging up every week.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. No question about it. Anyway, James, where's the best place that we can find your work on the web?
Well, I have a website, James Hirsen, HIRSEN.com. And if they search James Hirsen on Twitter and Facebook, they'll find my stuff as well.
All right. Excellent. And hey, if you got any questions for James, myself, on this show, any others, email me, kl@carrielutz.com. You can Twitter us at @carrielutz. The Facebook page is Financial Survival Network, where we've got lots of fun economic tidbits, news that just lead you to the absurdity of the whole thing. James, it's always a pleasure speaking with you. Thanks so much for being on. We'll talk to you again real soon.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.